That's unusual to clap me at the beginning.
Wait till the end.
Yeah, right. Don't worry. I know. How lovely it is to see all your faces. Well, partly covered faces in some instances, but thank you for being here. Bless you. It's lovely. And thank you for the call out of retirement. You know, it's when you've had a week of clearing your office, you know, to have an invitation to come and speak, it's really special. So thank you for that. And especially, wasn't it great singing? Did you not really feel a sense of freedom? I know this masks thing is still very awkward, but how lovely it is to have the opportunity to sing. I don't know about you, but my spirit started to lift when I was able to do that. It's brilliant. So it's brilliant to be able to do that. So and what a lovely day. So I don't know whether I'm sort of a visual sort of representation of being released from sort of restriction. So in some way, perhaps, but I won't go any further on that. But and thank you all for being here. I've said already. And what we've also got, which we haven't been able to do for 18 months or so, is have a corporate lunch together. So I hope you do. If you've not noticed yet, half the car park's been shut off. We've got a lamb roast barbecue going on in the car park. So that would be great. Something we can celebrate together, which is fantastic. But anyway, firstly, a huge, huge thank you. David's mentioned it. We've given you a card too. But thank you for the way you all contributed so much and so generously to, firstly, my birthday. We're still eating the cake. Thanks for that. We might be eating the cake for some time because somebody's gone in the freezer, hasn't it? So, but for the celebrations last week as well, it was very special. And all your lovely cards and greetings. And I think that there's probably not a card shop in the area which is not now run out of retirement cards. And birthday cards, it's brilliant. But as I said last week, and I'll say it again, you're a lovely, lovely church. And you're lovely, lovely people. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And if you're a visitor this morning, receive that as well. The fact that you've come and you probably got caught out on holiday and you think, well, we'll come to. Well, yeah, it's lovely to have you here. So the Lord bless you. Now, in some ways, I've really struggled to know what to preach on this morning because I'm used to doing series, aren't I? I've done all sorts here. And with it not only being my end of my time here at EBC and ministering amongst you lovely people for the last 9+ years, it's also this stepping back from having served the Lord in full-time service for 41 years this year. In fact, and 29 years as the church leader from next week, in fact, next Sunday it is, 25 of those as an accredited Baptist minister and 20 and team leader, and that's in three churches, across three churches over the time, but also 12 years before that in youth work with British Youth for Christ. So it's been a varied but very fruitful time. However, as I said in my letter when I informed everybody, rather than stepping out of ministry completely, we really do believe that this is more a stepping out to step into something different. We'll take initially some space and some time to just be, to chill, to rest, and then even relocate at some point somewhere. Question. And that's going to start next week. In fact, we're going up to Northumberland for a couple of weeks' holiday. And there may be a little bit of house hunting going on there at the same time. We don't know. But we'll initially take that space and just be waiting on God's direction and God's leading. So, you know, please pray for us. Please continue to pray for us. I know you have been already. But we've got no doubts at all that God will direct us into the next steps. We have no doubts. So in one sense, I'm retiring. But in another, I'm not. Yeah, even as it's the end of a significant phase of my life, on the one hand. On the other, it's the beginning of something new and something fresh. In fact, who would not want to serve God with every breath God gives them in their life? And I tell you, I do not want and will not pack up until God takes that breath away. Because that's my call. And I will not and never retire. In fact, I don't think you ever do retire from ministry. That's right, David. Is that right, Brian? Yeah. Any other ministers here? You never retire. So apparently, I don't know. But we know and we believe that God's called us to ministry. And that has not and will not change for the rest of our days. So what I would like to focus on, really, is not so much me this morning, but rather upon God. I want to give him the honour and the glory in my life for everything. I wouldn't have been able to do any of what I've done or experienced all that I have in service or ministry or anything else for that matter were it not for him. He's been the very source and strength of my life up until now, and I've sought to declare the kingdom and serve Jesus over the years as best of my ability, and I hope he'll remain that focus and that source for the rest of my days. Ultimately, and you need to know this, and I mean it genuinely, I have and I am nothing without God. Of course, with God's leading and direction, there have been other people along the journey too, who, in partnership with God, have been essential along the way in God's purposes for me. And the most important being my best friend and companion in life, my lovely Jen, who stood by me, put up with me, been there for me all the way. And so I thank God for you. And for bringing us together and being there for us along the way. And for God using you to shape me. Any men understand that phrase? Yeah. If you're married, you'll know that. Understand. And for God being in it and through it all. God has been incredibly faithful all the way through. It's still yet to be revealed, of course, in the adventure ahead of us. The Lord has been there through it all. And through ministry's ups and downs, through the strains and stresses and tough times, through tiredness, exhaustion, through joys and celebrations. Far too many things to mention after those 41 years or so. But God has proven time and time and time again his love and his faithfulness to us. And I know he will continue to be there. Way on into the future. Because he's the only true and faithful God. So thank you, Jen, for walking with me. And here's to the next phase. But there are others too. And being as she's here today, and I have the opportunity, my big sister Sue... If it hadn't have been for you, then I may not, if God hadn't have found you, then he may not have found me, humanly speaking. So thank you for putting up with me as that annoying little brother, especially during your A-levels when I was practicing my drums, but particularly encouraging me to go to that joint CU meeting, which was at your school with Bishop Beasley's way back in Sutton Coalfield in the 1970s, in the early 70s, through which, together with the wonderful David McInnes, who was canon of Birmingham Cathedral at the time, God spoke to me, and he took hold of this spotty, shy, believe it, 14-year-old, as I was then, and I've never looked back since. Never looked back since. And I know... You've prayed for me. You and Stu have prayed for me along the way. So thank you. And I love you and bless you. And of course there are hundreds, if not thousands more, whom God has used and shaped to direct my life and given an input into my life over the years. And since that commitment back in 1972, there have been fellow church leaders, there have been speakers, there's been preachers who've challenged me, inspired me over the years through sermons, at conferences, all sorts of ways, through their books, through prayer times I've held with them. And, of course, they're all the faithful believers in all the churches I've attended and served in over the years, who were incredibly patient and understanding as my leadership skills were being honed, as I was learning how to preach, and I'm still not there yet. But I want to thank you, because a lot of you are sitting here as well. And we've called some of you to join us today because you are special friends. So thank you for being here and thank you for coming and being part of God using you to shape me. And there's a lot, of course, who I don't know and are unknown, but they are known to God. And that's the only important thing. God has used so many. And I'm sure many of you could witness the same in your lives. And yet, when you think about it, and this is really where I want to get into the meat of what I want to share, all these people have only been able to play their part, and me and mine, because of God. I would never have met them. I've never been in that position without God. It's who he is, and all that he's done, and which only God can do. Both in them and through them. And of course in me and through me. And it's all about his skill at connecting and networking us all together. For his purposes and his will. And it never ceases to amaze me. I don't know about you, but the connections which God makes. And how God ties it all together. And he just uses different people just to do his work. And it all helps us. And the whole thing moves together. That's the nature of church, is it not? Wonderful. And if I could just pick a verse of the thousands which there are about God's faithfulness and God's love, then Psalm 86 could just be one of them. Verse 15, and it puts it very clearly, very simply, and I said it could be many others, but you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And in many ways, that could be a bit, I suppose, my core text for today. But my whole ministry, my whole life has been built through God's faithfulness and him at work in me and through others. And even though these words were declared over the people of Israel way back, they speak over us today too, and they're a reminder of God's promise that he, it's all about him, and it's not about us, it's all about him. And you've heard me say that phrase many, many times from this pulpit, this platform, because that's it. It's all about him and not about us and not about me. God has been so, so faithful to me and to Jen, and to many of us here over the years. A bruised reed, he has not broken. A smouldering wick, he has not snuffed out. And in faithfulness, he has brought forth justice, and he will not falter or be discouraged. And that's Isaiah 42. And the writer of Psalm 136, of course, which you'll know very well, says repeatedly, his faithfulness, faithful love endures forever. Verses 1 to 3, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. And verses 23 to 26, after they've been encouraged to remember all that God has done for them over the years, and I encourage you to do that, to remember, to remind yourself, and we looked at that a few months ago, I remember, Because once you do that, you start to realize he remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. It's all such tremendous words, and it's that repetition which just drives it home for me. God's incredible faithfulness and his enduring love, proven in so many ways to so many of us. And then there's those lovely but very famous words which most of us all know. We probably don't know much else about the book of Lamentations, but we know chapter 3, don't we? And verse 22 to 24, because it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Amen. Yes, yes. And you know, it comes in the midst of quite a difficult book, that does. Why? Because God is in it all the way through, even in the dark times. And I'm sure there are probably many other Psalms or Old Testament passages which we could all look at and think about, all about God's unbelievable faithfulness. But time doesn't allow us to do that today. And yet, of course, that was Old Testament, that was Old Covenant stuff, and it was good. But God then capped it all with the wonder of Christ. God's faithfulness expressed in and through all that Jesus was and all that he came to bring, all that he did on the cross, and all that's been released to us through the power of his resurrection. John 1:17, I think, summarizes it. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And because of Jesus, God found and called me, along with all of us who've received Christ and know him. We all recognize how amazing God's faithfulness has been, yes? I hope. God didn't give up on you. He didn't give up on me. He's not giving up on us. And even if you're watching today and you don't know who Jesus is, he doesn't give up on anybody, no matter what you've done, no matter where you have been in your life. God is a God of forgiveness and restoration, and he wants to reconcile you to himself. That's what it's all about. And that's why he sent Jesus, making it possible for you, for me, for us, to know him by his love, by his grace, to know the forgiveness, to know the redemption, and to experience that new life. Wonderful stuff that we have, that we've been given. And because of Jesus, we are now in God, which is the most mind-blowing thing for me. I sometimes read these words in John, and it's all about in him and me, and me in him. And Jesus is obviously talking about himself in the Father, but then he talks about those who are following in through faith. And it's just one of the most incredible miracles, I believe, to know and be known and transformed by the living God, because he lives in us. Do you know, that stands Christianity against every other faith on the face of this planet. It's because the living God lives in you and me by the Holy Spirit. Every other faith is a struggle to attain something, a certain level, a certain way of being. And guess what? Everything else fails. But Jesus Christ, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy in us, gives us a hope and a future and brings us through to himself. And again, there are many, many verses I could use, but one verse which has become a mainstay in my life on this very theme and my whole ministry, in fact, over the years, I've sort of repeat it on a very, very regular basis and have done and probably will still. Yes, I am the vine, Jesus says in John 15, verse 5. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We can do nothing outside of Christ, which is going to have any real value into eternity. So again, if you do not know Jesus, then get your life right with him. Come back in line with who God is, because then you will have, you'll be producing a fruitful life, what you were designed and called to be. Outside of Christ, we will not experience that, and we do not know that. It's all about God. It's all about his faithfulness. And I wouldn't be here today, like many of us, I expect, without that love and faithfulness of God. Keep reminding me, it's about him. It's about the indwelling of the Spirit within me. If God hadn't have rescued me and given me this life in him, if he hadn't have loved me, if he hadn't have called me, if he hadn't equipped me, if he hadn't enabled me, if he hadn't sustained me over all these years, who knows where I would have ended up? I'd say that seriously. I haven't got a clue. He has been everything, and he will be. And yet, because of Jesus and because of his faithfulness, I can stand here today at this point in my life and still declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Saviour, my very all, 51 years later. Gosh. It really is all about him. And you know, I just want to finish, if I could, just by sharing with you and thanking God for one of my biblical heroes. I've got several, but I'm going back into the Old Testament for this one, whose story has challenged me over the years. I've shared it with you guys if you've been part of Emmanuel over my time here. But I suppose it comes afresh, especially at this significant point in my life and my ministry and my age. Although I have to say I've got a little bit to go before I catch this guy up. But this is for all of us. Okay, this is for all of us, and especially for those of us who are, shall we say, a little bit more mature in years. Okay, it's the story of Caleb and his wholehearted devotion. Blesses my socks off. In fact, I might not get through this. But he motivates me to press on, to keep going through all that God has for me. And to receive it and to grab it with both hands. So, just a bit of background. You'll remember Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 spies sent out by Moses to check out the promised land. And they're the ones who came back with faith and vision and understanding of God's purposes and his promise for his people. And because of that vision and Caleb's faithfulness to God over the years, the Lord blessed him with his promised inheritance and more and more. Joshua 14. Let me just read you these few verses. Verse 10. Now, as you can see, this is Caleb speaking to Joshua and to the people. The Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Now, please hear me. In no way am I aligning myself with Caleb. All right? Firstly, I'm not old enough, but the promise principle which is expressed in this account is for all of us to grasp, I believe. All of us. And the encouragement is, stick with it. Stick with the Lord, stick with the faith, keep walking. Don't give up. Even 45 years, even in wilderness experiences, it doesn't matter how you feel. It's not about you, it's who God is. It's about His faithfulness. Stick with it. Stay wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. Stand your ground against the enemy and firmly rooted on the promises of His word. And you will see God's faithfulness unfold before you. And He'll bless you beyond words, beyond your wildest dreams. Keep Him your number one priority and the Lord of your life. And nothing and no one, no matter what giants they may appear to be, will stand in the way of your inheritance under God. You're never too old to enjoy the legacy that is ours in God through Christ. Never, ever. And no matter how frail your body might be, if you keep your heart devoted wholly to Him, the Lord will see you through and carry you through. And guess what? Because that was Old Testament, God has now given us that deposit guaranteeing this through Christ. In Ephesians 1 verse 14, Paul says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised. And that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. May our hearts always be filled with praise and thanksgiving. And let's never ever forget, our God is a faithful God. He's a good God all of the time. And He'll never let us down if we keep our eyes fixed upon Him. So I'd like to pray for you all. Let's pray, shall we? And so, Lord God, I pray and I declare Your blessing upon each one of us here. And particularly the family of the church here at Emmanuel. That, Lord, each and every one of us will know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the God who is ever faithful, who will be there for us through thick and through thin, through all the circumstances we face for the rest of our days. Lord, I also pray that this lovely fellowship of Your people here will know Your leading in the weeks, months and years ahead. That, Lord, that this next season which they are about to enter as a church, both as individuals but also as a body, will be rich and fruitful. I pray that, Lord, they will all grow in their faith and in their love for the Lord. May you all grow as a church numerically and in your effectiveness for the gospel. And as I hand on the baton, may you all truly see God's kingdom come and His will be done here in this part of His earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we lay ourselves before You. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us, lead us, and equip us, we ask. In Jesus' name and for His glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The Lord bless you.